Minds of Moria.
Welcome, guys, to the 7th episode of the Toronto Indie Guys podcast. You got me, Arthur, and you got my favorite co-host, Max Brown.
I'm the favorite dog.
And today, guys, we're going to be talking about a few cool events and stuff that we've been doing over the past few days, and also a few upcoming events that you guys should definitely check out, or at least partake, all happening in April. First up, I guess we can talk about is this meeting. Well, not really a meeting. It was more like a speaker. Yeah, it wasn't a showcase. It was like a speaker event with the CASO. And if you don't know what the CASO is, it's the Computer Animation Studios of Ontario. I've been to about one other event that they've had, and it's been pretty knowledgeable and pretty interesting to hear industry professionals talking about their careers and whatnot, and getting advice from them. More so, not really related to game development at all, but it's still good to know about film and other works of art, because as an aspiring animator, I wish it's still good to know about the movie industry.
Yeah, and I mean, more than that, the techniques and stuff that are used in animation for the movie industry are carried over into, like, video games now, because video gaming technologies and capabilities are just getting so strong that cutscenes are essentially movies now, so important things like lighting and, like, distance, whatever, like, it all comes back and is actually becoming important for video games now.
At first, I thought you meant, like, video games based off of movies. I was like, are you kidding me? Video games that are based off movies, or movies that are based off video games, are usually shit.
I don't know, man. I really liked Waterworld, the game.
They didn't make a Waterworld game.
They did, and it's on
really?
The Virtual Boy.
Oh,
think about that.
Oh my god. That I've only seen like a few minutes of it, of Waterworld, and it's like, what is it, like, you have like a little like fortress, and people had to, like, fight with water? Or were they fighting... that's what I had, like... They were, like, trapped in, like, this little, like, net, and they had to, like, get away or else they'd drown, or... I didn't watch much of the movie because it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was...
Waterworld was essentially a movie about what if the entire world got flooded.
And then you had...
And that's about it, honestly.
Who's the main guy, though?
Kevin Costner,
I think. Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, he must have loved being in that movie.
It's always fun doing those kind of roles, though. Mm-hmm. It's not really fun, I would say. I would just say it's more like, I don't know, having like a really, really shitty movie that you can like talk about is kind of funny. Pretty much like how with us game developers, it'd be like having that shitty game that you're like, yeah, we know it's shit, but we're gonna make fun of it anyways.
Yeah, probably. Even and this is also important. Games made off of pre-existing ideas, you probably want to make sure it's a good idea first. Okay. Like, if you want to make a game based off of, I don't know,
well, like,
some fancy movie, like the Jurassic Park.
They're making a new Jurassic Park game.
Again?
Again, yeah. Oh, like, boy. Do you know Telltale Games?
Yeah.
They made the Back to the Future game? Yeah, they're doing a Jurassic Park one now.
Oh, well, seeing what they did with Back to the Future, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's like a totally... Well, I haven't seen much of it. I just know that it isn't like the actors in Jurassic Park 1, right? It takes place, I think, around this, like the same event, just different characters that are on the island.
Oh, cool.
And it looks really interesting. The same, like, an animation graphic style is still the same.
Yeah, but there you go. Like, you have a good idea, like a good concept. Mm. They'll probably make a good game. Whereas, you take Waterworld... Well, let's make a game out of it. No. But, you know, this doesn't always work. I mean, you could have a really good idea, like E.T., and then make a game out of that.
I was going to mention that, yeah, E.T.
Yeah, that's just... The gaming community is never going to live that down.
And it's pretty funny how Steven Spielberg, like a few years ago, or at least a year ago, made some like conference or something. Like not a conference, but he had an article on Kotaku. I think that's what it's called, right?
I don't know.
But yeah, and he said he wanted to like make games and put more emotion into games. And seeing that he directed E.T., having his movie be the worst game ever, it's pretty contradictory.
But that wasn't really his fault, though. I mean, he didn't have, like, any say over the game. I like to imagine that Steven Spielberg actually would have looked at it and been like, what have you done? Do it again. Do it right.
I hope. But anyways, yeah, so the Casso had an event out. An event actually today, March 20.
You just say Casso had an evento.
Evento, Casso had an evento. Arriba. They had an event today on the 31st of March, and they had Doug Sutton, technical director at ILM Studios, and he was talking about pretty much his experience with visual effects. And some like and pretty much the titles that he's been worked on and is working on. If you don't know who he quite is, he's worked on such titles as Jurassic Park 2, the Star Wars prequels,
yay,
and the entire Transformer series.
Yay!
So pretty much, he has a wide. Well, I wouldn't say a variety of like movies, but still, nonetheless, pretty good resume. Still, I mean, even if the movies don't really match up in terms of story or acting or whatnot, the visual effects are still going to be are still really good. I mean, Transformers, when I first saw the original, like not the original, but original the live action movies, the visuals are pretty cool. Why give me that face?
Don't call it the original.
I've never watched it when I was a kid. The Transformers series. Anyways, Max is starting to get mad at me.
How does someone grow up and not have seen the original cartoon?
I'm like a younger
cartoon movie.
I don't know. I wasn't really a fan. Seriously, I wasn't really a big fan of Transformers. I thought it was...
How can you be a male and not be a fan of Transformers?
I was a fan of Beast Wars. Beast Wars was pretty awesome.
It was.
But anyways, yeah, and pretty much he was pretty much showcasing. We're using a lot of his examples of like the different types of, well, not really different types, but pretty much good visual effects with the film Rango, which was released I think a few months ago in theaters, and it has Johnny Depp starring
as a lizard.
And pretty much what it is, it's he described it as a spaghetti western movie, and from what I've heard from others who have seen the movie, I haven't seen the movie, I don't think you've seen the movie, Max.
No, yeah, no.
And pretty much what I'm getting at is that the story isn't... It's okay. It's not, like, spectacular or anything, but the visual effects are amazing. And from the animation reels and the character models and animations... The detail that was put into like everything is beautiful. During his talk, he was really showing off the different characters and doing like rotations of the models, even like with all like the details on the hair and of like their skin. And since all the characters are pretty much animals, right? It's a feature animated film, and they're all animals in a western. They had to put a lot of detail into every single character, and the skin, the eyes, and the hair, pretty much the detail that's in everything is really, 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 really good. And it was really, really cool to see that from the visual effects technical director. Because, like, not a lot of, like, movies, at least... like, released in the last 10 years, like, animated features, like, their eyes are pretty much the same. If, like, let's say, like, you look at mostly Pixar DreamWorks films, all of the characters' eyes are pretty much kind of the same. Like they're all pretty big white eyes, right? With like shiny
black pupil. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with Rango, it's like they kind of took that and they said, well, we can put a lot more detail into the eyes and give the characters a lot more depth with them. And if you guys have seen the movie, you guys will probably know better than we do that you guys can see the detail in them. And as well, what Doug talked a lot about was he also stressed the importance of lighting your scene in your movies. And what he was like mentioning is that when the team was doing Rango, the ILM team was doing Rango, they took a lot of references from old Western movies, but not just the ones that kind of light everything, but the ones that kind of give off a lot of contrast between shadow and light and kind of make the setting a lot more dynamic and a lot more interesting. And hearing that from like the from a professional like that, it really interested me in learning more about lighting and compositing and making live scenes look fantastic. Because me and Max both have me and Max are both taking a compositing course in college. And this is the sort of thing that kind of goes into it.
Yep.
Of course, Max wasn't able to attend the event. I kind of wish he did, because I think he'd find a lot of this really interesting. Like, overall, just showing the different characters in the sets just made me want to see the movie in theaters. And I recommend you guys should all go see it as well, if you guys are in the game industry. Or if you just want to see a good flick, go see Rango.
I probably will. You've convinced me.
We should, yeah. Date. Yeah, we just gave props right now, if you guys didn't see that.
You guys couldn't hear the props.
Yeah. Next up, guys, we'll talk about the next IGDA event coming up next April, April 14th. And it's called the Open Mic Night, which sounds to be pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. So for this event, it pretty much seems like all they wanted to do was take everyone in Toronto who goes to the IGDA events and say, hey, you know what? We don't really have anything planned for a while, so what do you think? What's on your mind? And ask for submissions from everyone for what you would rant about for a full 5 minutes if you had a microphone in front of you and the entire Toronto community could listen to you.
I think most of it.
No, not could. Has to. Everyone who's in that room has to listen to you.
That'd be pretty funny. It'd be pretty fun. I think it was started since Ryan Crane has been really involved with the IGDA this past year.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of his stunt at the IGF, or sorry, GDC, I think that's what kind of spawned it.
Well, rants are a very important thing for everyone, because the moment you're up on a podium and everyone can listen, it doesn't matter how prepared you are, you're just going to start babbling like an idiot. And after that happens for a while, after you're just going almost like around in circles in your head, that's when you actually start to talk and be important, because when your mouth is not actually ahead of your brain, but pretty much in sync, then actual important stuff comes out. Yeah.
I actually submitted submission to rant about.
Submitted your submission?
I submitted my submission. Oh, man. So tired.
Submitted your entry.
Yeah, I submitted an entry, and I really want to talk about... Well, I don't really want to talk about it. Well, I do, but...
Be enthusiastic.
Yeah.
You do want to talk about
it. I do want to talk about this, and then IGA, if you're listening, please let me talk about this, because I will make it good, and I will represent a lot of good people in here.
You're the voice of all the students.
Vote for me for president of the United States. I don't even know why I said that.
Arthur Maris, 2012.
Yeah, vote for change.
I'm vice president. We're putting Englishmen into the White House.
I actually just found out that only like people that are born in America can become the president. No, seriously, I thought anyone could be one. I thought anyone could be the president if...
Well, that's Schwarzenegger's hope, but...
Yeah. On a side note, yeah. That's what I learned the other day.
Just the other day, really?
Yeah, really. I'm not really into, like, politics or anything, so I'm, like, learning as I go.
Well, there's that huge, like, snafu about Obama, because they're like, oh, he's not American, he was born in the not-Americas, or...
Didn't they say he was born, like, in Jamaica or something?
Yeah, something like that. One of the islands, I think. I can't remember which one.
I just learned that a few days ago, too. Yeah, and that's my view on politics. But anyways, I'm ranting, well, I'm hoping to rant, about students trying to get involved with the game development community. And when I mean this, I mean focusing on blog/social network creation. So creating a Twitter, tweeting people, creating a portfolio, or at least a blog, just to get yourself out, like, heard out in the industry, and just talking to these people at events. So, like, when I mean events, the IGDA and the Hand Eye Society are prime examples of the events that students should be going to if they want to get involved. I mean, that's how this podcast really got started, is because we wanted to be involved with the community. And we also started talking to people as well. Like, we went to these events, we talked to people, and we built connections on them.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I really want to stress, at least rant about, in this rant. So the rant in the rant.
Yo, dog.
I heard you like rants. I really want to stress the negativity that comes with just bluntly giving out resumes and asking for jobs, because it can really get annoying, and it makes the entire student demographic look stupid and annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes us all look bad, even though most of us just want to be involved with the community.
Get involved, join a club.
That's my tagline, get involved, join a community.
Oh,
God damn it.
Thanks for trying.
But yeah, IGDA, if you guys hear this, or if any of you guys are on the board, I'd love it if you guys can have me rant. If not, I'll still be there to support everyone else. I think,
choose me as your homecoming queen.
I never actually went to prom. So I don't know anything about that.
High five.
Yeah, socially awkward. But yeah.
I was too cool for prom. I stayed home and played video games.
I played the game Prom. I wonder if they'll make a video game based on that movie Prom coming out soon. You have to, like, make certain choices about picking a dress or picking a suit, and you gotta find the right girl. You ask like the hot cheerleader, you get rejected, so you have to, like, do shit.
You have to take the unattractive girl instead, and then as you go, the cheerleader will be like,
jealous.
Oh, that's, like, so sweet, like, you took this girl, and then be like, yeah, I found out she has this great personality, and that's what's actually important to me, and then she'll get jealous and be like, you should have taken me instead, and, like, lead you away by the arm, and the really unattractive girl then gets jealous, she's like, oh, he dumped me for the other girl, and she leaves and crying, but then the hero is actually like, oh, wait, I suddenly understand the true meaning of Christmas, and, like, runs out after the ugly girl and kisses her, and she turns beautiful somehow.
You, like, mixed, like, Christmas, whatever the other thing you mixed.
Ugly duckling.
Yeah, the ugly duckling, Christmas, prom. Oh my god.
I am the best. Don't steal that. I'm the best after school special there ever was.
Yeah, and if any of you guys want to steal that idea, we'll be on to you.
Yeah.
So don't. It's award winning title there.
I don't want to see any games made about kissing ugly girls. That's my idea.
But please, go to the event, guys. It's going to be, like we said, April 14th, 7:30 at Bar 244 Adelaide Street West.
They have a new location now.
A new location? Isn't
it? Yeah.
Because Bar 244, that's, no, never mind. I was thinking of the Unibar. No.
Yeah. No, this is on Adelaide. I don't think I've ever actually been there. It's familiar, but I can't remember the name. Excuse us while we Google this.
Yeah. We got a big screen TV now to actually... Yeah. But yeah, you guys, it's going to be on the 14th... is it 14th or...
IGDA. Also, it's important to mention right now that we are talking about the open mic thing that had the ability to submit. Submissions are ending tonight, and this is... March 31st.
It's too late by the time you guys listen to this.
Yeah,
so
it ends March 31st. So this is going up like April 2nd or something. So
hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. So you've already missed the date.
Yeah.
You're
so
only hearing about this.
So you're hearing this now. Sorry, you guys can't submit your submission.
Click
but
the link. Click it. Click the link. It's right there. No, that one.
This one.
Yes.
It's the same place. 244 Adelaide Street West.
Well, it probably has a. Click it.
Alright, you guys, so...
244, in between John and Simcoe on King. Oh, wow, that's, like, really close to the Metro Hall. I know that place.
It's, like, right next to the Elfin Castle.
Yeah.
So...
Wow, they're really keeping the entire place really close together now.
But, yeah, you guys should definitely check it out. Well, at least go. Thursday, April 14th, 7:30 to 11:30. I'm not too sure how many people are there... getting to talk. It's only like 5-minute rants, so it's nothing too long or anything. I think 5 minutes was the amount that Ryan was given, or Ryan did or something at GDC.
Well, he was given 10 words.
Yeah, 10 words. And
I think he ranted for about 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah. But yeah, you guys, check it out. IGDA events are always really, really cool, and good to see everyone in the community again. Following that, we have... a Hand Eye Society event. Not really Hand Eye Society, but they're promoting it. It's called Level Up, a showcase of student game projects from OCAD-U and the University of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that that collaboration because University of Toronto, I think, are more well known for programmers, while OCAD-U is an art. College, art, university, so...
So ideally, put the two together, and...
And you got good games.
It'll be the best-looking, most functional babies you'd ever see.
Though, I'm a bit disappointed that George Brown isn't there.
Yes, why isn't George Brown there? They probably just don't know about it yet.
Yeah.
We should, we're gonna show up with our, like, George Brown suits.
No, just, like, we'll all go with our, those pink bang shirts...
Pink bang.
There's like last year. There was like some and like end of the year party, and people who volunteered got like these pink shirts that said boom on it, and the event was called boom, and yeah, we should probably all wear those. It would look super cool.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Anyways,
the event's April 4th, Monday, 2011. Well, that's a given. And it's from 1700 hours to 2100 hours, which is, I'm way too tired for this.
From 5 till 9.
There you go, guys, 5 till 9. It's going to be in the learning rooms, A and B, third floor, King Street, 350 West. At the Bell Light Box, you guys. You guys can find out more details on this event at the Hand Eye Society website. It was posted a few days ago, actually on the 23rd. So it's going to be really cool. Both Max and myself are going to be attending. And hopefully we'll see a lot of fresh faces there, too.
Mm-hmm,
see what the other schools are producing.
Because, from what we've come to get from going to, like, IGDA or Hand Eye Society is that there kind of aren't a lot of students.
Like, participating, right?
Yeah. Like, Because for us at George Brown, we sort of jumped into this just by word of mouth from, like, the instructors or...
Yeah.
Like, however we first found out. I can't even remember. But the few of us that actually did find out and started going, we were like, get involved, join a club. And we started peddling every information we could find about hand-eye events or IGDA events, even to our teachers and, like, stuff like that. But it seems like for things like OCADU and U of T, they maybe aren't all that involved.
I've seen, or at least I've heard of, University of Toronto students attending some events. Like, I know one person in our class knows a few programmers in that section, and I know that most of them are going to be attending TOGen this year. But in terms of OCADU, I don't... Like, OCADU did have that start organization last year, which was just before Gamer Camp, and it was held, I think, at the TIFF Lighthouse, or I think it was held in OCAD University, but it was showcasing games made in Toronto.
Oh, cool.
So, I guess, like, they are involved in the community, I guess we just haven't really noticed them, I guess?
Maybe. Well, one way or another, it's...
Yeah.
They're getting more involved now, so that's good.
Definitely a good reason why I should have my rant.
Yeah. So, information about this is on the Hand-Eye Society page on the very, very, very top right now.
Well, that's, you know, that's just because we clicked the more information.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's up there, guys. And for more info, you can actually email ewestcott@faculty.ocad.ca or sangles@cs.toronto.ca. It's on the poster.
We'll put links at the bottom.
Yeah, we'll put links so you guys can contact them if you guys want to see more information. It says here that the theme is going to be casual games. So I'm guessing, because we're scroll down, it's like more like on Kinect, Xbox 360, Android smartphones, 2D and 3D.
Next gen stuff, I guess, on terms of like platforms and technology.
I'd be interested to see the games made with Kinect and see, because I'm not much of a programmer / like engine tech guy, but I've seen a lot of videos where people are like testing the Kinect development kit, or at least trying to break it to make it do a lot more in terms of instead of just casual games.
It'd be very interesting to see what indie developers will do with the Kinect dev kits and stuff like that.
I'm hoping some really good titles come out soon instead of the really casual. And like when I say really casual, I mean Kinectimals. I don't want to see any of those games on the Kinect.
Yeah. No, but that's the thing. Like, most of the hardcore, like even first through third developers for... Xbox right now, a lot of them are just, you know, it's hard to imagine them any other way than with a controller. So introducing something like the Kinect, well, hey, that's all well and good. You control it with your entire body, or for something like even Dance Central. Rest in peace, Rockstar. Yeah, Rockstar? No, not Rockstar.
Harmonix.
Rockstar. Harmonix. Rest in peace, Harmonix.
Rockstar made Rock Band now.
Rock Band San Andreas.
You have to like rock out to dance, I mean to rap music.
Yeah, and so. Drive-bys while you're doing it. But like games like that are coming out, that'd be great. And I think that indie developers should actually pretty much dominate that market, or like making those kind of games.
Oh yeah, like the I see the Kinect being the future in gaming. Whether a lot of us like it or not, it's gonna change everything soon.
I do find it kind of ironic that casual gaming is, you know, get up and move your entire body instead of lay down on your ass and have a controller in your hands.
Yeah. Well, I guess with using the whole body, it has to be... Well, right now they have to be really... I guess primitive in terms of what you can do. And when you have a controller and you have multiple buttons, mm-hmm. you can do various things. So it makes it more, I guess, hardcore or something like that. But yeah, the Kinect, shitty games are out right now, but there's promise that there will be much better stuff. And seeing what students have to, like, what students can do with it, like, at OCAD U and U of T, should be really, really cool and interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'd really like to see what they can come up with.
But anyways, guys, yeah, check it out. Monday, April 4th, 5 to 9 p.m. at the Bell Lighthouse, 350 King Street West.
At Learning Rooms A and B on the third floor.
And we're going to be there and everything else.
Yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to be signing autographs.
If you guys want our autographs, that'd be pretty cool if you guys want our autographs. Yeah. I'll even sign you an autograph, Max. You can sign me one. So then we'll each have one of each other.
Nice.
And then when one of us dies, we'll release it on eBay or the next big selling platform.
Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be like F-Bay.
I don't... I think it's just... You went...
It's after E.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about TO Jam some more. And also experiences with trans gaming studios. All right. Thanks. And we're back. Toronto Indie Guys podcast, episode 7. Do you know what we should do? We should probably buy a cake for the 10th episode.
Yeah, because it'll be like an anniversary thing.
Yeah, and then every episode after that we buy a cake.
You know, I really wish I could be in a relationship with a girl and she'd be like, well, I got you this gift. For what? It's our anniversary. We've been going out for a week. I know. And then it would be really weird.
Yeah.
People who do like week-long celebrations.
Isn't that like high school?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like high school stuff.
I'm going to give a girl a promise ring.
What the hell? Promise ring? I never heard of that.
You've never heard of promise rings?
No.
Promise rings are like the biggest bullshit ever. It's like, here's a promise ring. It's, you know, just so we will be together forever and ever and ever. So it's like an engagement ring, except not really. It's like those shitty plastic rings you get out of vending machines. It's basically like saying, hey, we're going out, here's some shitty fake jewelry. We'll only have sex when the time is right. And then you don't, and it's really awkward. It's like, I thought we were going to wait. And it's like, yeah, well, I'm in high school, so... What? Is that what you did?
No, I didn't ever do that. Thank God. I was just banging my head against the table here, guys, because that was just...
Yeah.
Who does that?
It's really popular. Oh, my God. No, it's, like, super popular. It's like abstinence rings.
What's abstinence rings?
It's rings that basically say you're going to remain abstinent.
Don't know what that word is.
Not have sex.
Oh.
So, like, if you're no, I'm not going to be stupid. I'm not going to have sex. And here's my abstinent rings to prove it. And they're, like, flash. That's like...
So you're married, right?
Like, I think it's, like, black, usually. That's pretty funny. That's actually pretty funny. Here's my abstinence ring. Is that an engagement ring? Yes.
It has, like, a huge diamond on it. So, yeah, relationship help, you guys. We also do game dev stuff on the side. Send us emails your problems. We can help you out.
That's how Bling started, you know.
Say Bling or Bing?
Bling.
Bling.
Bling. Because, you know.
Oh, the term. The,
yeah, like
the
gangsters
slang term.
Would have like a ring on every finger.
Oh, yeah.
They had so many hoes.
Oh.
And had like promise rings from all of them.
So, why are. I don't even know why. I'm not even gonna ask questions. That's just retarded. Like, celebrating 1 week or even 1 month anniversary is just terrible enough. One year is fine. Like, I can see 1 year anniversaries.
Yeah.
Of course, marriage anniversaries are fine too. But yeah, like weeks, months. I've heard of 6 months anniversary, which
mm-hmm.
I've done once, I think. Yeah.
Well, there's a certain limit. I mean, it just has to be pretty much divisible, well, not by 12, but, well, yeah, I guess by 12 or by 6, because every 6 months, that's twice a year. That's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
But even the next one down from there, like every 3 months, I guess, that's 4 times a year. That's a little too much. And then monthly or weekly.
Yeah, birthdays. I mean, like, aren't like birthdays, Christmas, all these other holidays that you give gifts, like...
Yeah, okay. If it's like the standard two-person relationship, that's 2 birthdays a year. That's a lot for a couple to celebrate.
And then you have Valentine's Day, which is supposed to be for couples too, right? So it's like...
Valentine's Day is such a sham.
Well, we should probably not talk about this. This is like... We're like going to our relationship cast here.
Yeah.
Almost.
What are we talking about? Games?
I love dating sims. Actually, yeah. It's my favorite genre of game.
I really like those dating sims that you can play one-handed.
I actually once played this game. Actually, I don't even know if I should say this.
Do it.
Oh, wait, sorry. Yeah, it's like this link to a game that... a friend of mine sent. I just collected it. It was like pretty late. I was like, whatever, yeah, I'll play it. And it was like this game where it's like, I opened it up. It's like a Final Fantasy, like you have Final Fantasy characters, and pretty much you'd grab the mouse cursor, and you would kind of like place it over the character's junk. And you would move it up and down on the junk. And that's how you would play the game.
To what goal? What happened?
To what goal? You're moving the cursor up and down on the guy's junk.
Yeah, yeah. So did it, like, make it, like, f*** or something? Or did the animation f***? Did it give the guy a f***? Did he, like, f*** it enough? Did he, you know, f***?
All those things.
Really? So say it!
You said it for me. Pretty much, yeah. You, like, stroke it up and down, and it gets bigger and bigger. And then it releases.
And then it releases.
I swear to God. Oh, my God. If my parents listen to this podcast episode, they're going to think I'm so weird. Or like, they'll think the gaming industry is weird altogether.
Here's a good time to talk about this. When do games go too far? Now, games really are just virtual, you know, experiences of everything. You think of a Mario game, that's a virtual experience of running forward and traveling through a world. Sure, it's a bit fantastic in that you can jump up on, like, hovering blocks or kill walking mushrooms. Like, that doesn't really happen. But then when you get to a game where it's like, say... Mafia, all that stuff is completely real and could be done in real life. Probably shouldn't, because that's illegal, which is why it's just virtual. That's like an outlet. But then when you get to sex, it's almost like there's some kind of disconnect, some kind of break in, like, you know, I can understand this being made into a game, Mafia, you know, it's illegal to do this in real life, so make a game out of it. But sex, that's kind of legal. So why would you make a game out of it? And then if you were to make an illegal sex game...
But it well, that's
sort of,
just like...
It sort of crosses, like, moral boundaries at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're talking, like, Custer's Revenge here, so...
I haven't heard of Custer's Revenge.
Okay, you and I are going to have a long talk about games released in the 80s. Custer's Revenge was a game made for... Oh, what system was it? Atari... Oh, I can't even remember. Long ago. It was old. It was really old.
Mm-hmm.
It was the kind of console where the graphics were pixelated to a huge extent. Like, pixels were pretty much this, like, half an inch big.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire point of the game was to play General Custer, who was a naked man wearing cowboy boots and a cowboy hat and a scarf.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to dodge arrows falling from the sky, presumably, you know, shot by Indians.
Having sex with this woman.
Yeah.
Sure. I thought that was Leisure Suit Larry.
There's a lot of games from back then where you just had sex with women.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, like, that was the original one, then, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen, like, screenshots of it. It's, like...
It's really weird. Yeah.
Like, well, like... Yeah, like, what do you... Well, I guess pretty much sex in a video game is weird altogether.
Yeah, it kind of is. No, and more than that, it, like, just, raises huge debates, because video games are the most virtual experiences that we can have right now with the current state of technology. So I guess when something there happens, it hits as close to home as anything possibly could. Like, I don't know, imagine like in the 40s and 50s if someone were to hear like sounds of people having sex over the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, it probably would have had the same effect as the hot coffee scandal from Grand Theft Auto a few years ago. That was Grand Theft Auto, right?
The hot coffee?
Yeah. The hot coffee cutscene.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think it was Grand Theft Auto 3, not 3 or 4, I don't know. There was this cutscene in it.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much what happens is the camera stays outside of any visual bounds or whatever. And you just hear the sounds of, like, people having sex. And the way the scene is lit, I think you can, like, see silhouettes through a window of it happening.
Yeah.
So, of course, someone hacks the game and moves the camera, and inside there's actual models doing the deed.
Why? That's so weird. I don't know why you even need to do that.
Yeah, there's probably no real good point. But this caused a huge, like, scandal and debate, because people are like, holy shit, that's pornography in a video game. Like, that's too far. 20 years after Custer's Revenge.
We just know about this now.
I don't know. But I guess, like, when you think about it, like, censorship in video games is so strong because it's the most virtual, you know, experience right now. If something were to happen where you could pretty much, like, put your dick into a computer and have virtual sex with someone, then anything in a video game is just going to become passé and no one's really going to care about it.
And it also was happening with Mass Effect too, with the whole like cinematic with the side boob.
Yeah.
Did you read that? Yeah. People went berserk over it, even though like it implied it a lot, but it didn't show that much in terms of nudity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the problem is that people who don't play games, or at least who aren't intelligent in terms of video games, they automatically assume that the video game market, like the people who buy video games, the consumers, are mostly children, and that's wrong. It's like that. I've heard countless times that the main group that buys and plays video games are adults, and just like we have pornos. Porno, pornography, any other sort of sexual content in other media.
You look so uncomfortable talking.
I haven't really talked about this much. But, like, having it in... I'm trying to think of the right words. I don't see. Like, it shouldn't... People should have the right to put it in video games. It shouldn't be, like... released, let's say, publicly, like, Do You Dare for the Wii. Have you heard of the game Do You Dare?
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
It's implying majorly for, like, some, like, sexual content. And, like, I don't... Just like how, like, pornos aren't really publicly advertised like that, I don't think video games that are aimed towards that sort of genre should be...
Yeah.
The same way.
No, they shouldn't. But, I don't know, that's the kind of thing where the argument can be made, you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people. I mean, for something like the hot coffee scandal, no one would have seen that happening until the hacker actually went in and changed it around to see the scenes inside. No one would have actually done that, because... the chances of some sort of, like, bug or glitch happening that caused that to happen are so slim, so close to zero.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but something like that. This is something I've actually wanted to bring up, because I am a firm believer in the ESRB rating system. Like, and a firm believer that anyone who works in a video game store, like, if a 13-year-old comes in and says, like, I want to buy the new Mortal Kombat, just be like, no. Like, no. I'm not doing that. But, yeah. This coming from me, who, at the age of, like, 8 or 7, was playing, like, Mortal Kombat, Killer Instinct, Primal Rage, all the good ones.
Good stuff, good times.
I don't know, I turned out okay. But if I had kids and I knew that they were, you know, mentally balanced, I'd be like, here's Mortal Kombat, go nuts. Learn something.
Learn how to kill people.
But,
It's not the kids then. It's the people. It's the parents that have responsibility over them.
Yeah. And no, definitely.
It's them who's buying the games. And if they're like I was saying before, the people who don't know video games who aren't intelligent enough think the target is for kids.
Yeah.
So obviously they think every game is okay for children, and they ignore the whole rating system. Even though, let's say for movies, they'll be like, "Oh, it's rated R, not for my child." Even though like they'll look at the ratings and be like, "M for mature." I'll let my child play, because he knows everything.
Yeah. But, the thing about that is, because I do sort of believe that games are often advertised to children.
Yeah.
Because, let's just beat the horse of Grand Theft Auto here today.
Okay.
Like, a game like that, or... I mean, what, like, 20-plus adult... Or, like, okay, well, let's use the rating system. 18-plus adult is going to be, you know, hanging out with his friends, you know, at a water cooler at the work environment or whatever, and just be bragging to his friends about, like, the latest kills he got in Halo or, like, that shit he pulled in Grand Theft Auto, you know, totally made a car run over 5 people at once, got the achievement. And, like, that just realistically doesn't happen. Meanwhile, like, the 14, 15-year-olds, well, 13, 14, whatever-year-olds, yeah, they're going to find that, like, a lot of fun to talk about.
Yeah, because, like, I guess they haven't really experienced anything like that, so it's a whole new world for them, since their kids are growing up pretty fast now.
So it almost seems a little hypocritical, because they definitely are marketed, well, not just marketed, but almost, like, made for that demographic.
It's like, I doubt, like, the actual companies would say that themselves, but...
Absolutely not.
They would probably, like, say, you guys are trolling.
Yeah.
But in a way, they want to sell the game. And I guess, I'm thinking if they're making content that kids haven't really seen before, like, that kids aren't really educated in. So they find it looks cool and interesting, and I guess that makes them want to play it even more.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's just like when you're growing up, let's say watching porn, right? I mean, you would like it's something that you aren't educated in, at least when you're going through adolescence or whatever, and it's like it, and then like you, like once you actually actually watch it for the first time, or when you actually do that sort of stuff, you'll brag it to your friends, and that kind of gives you more rep, I guess, in terms of like friends and teenagers.
I'm grinding rep for high school.
Yeah,
exactly like that. At a certain point, like if you're 30 years old and you're like, guess how much ass I got this week, your friend's gonna be like, what the fuck?
None, right?
What are you, in high school?
Yeah, it's definitely. The stuff that the games are about are definitely are making kids interested because they haven't really been taught anything like that.
But actually, all this is I'm speaking away from the microphone. Actually, all this is something I really wanted to like talk about, not just like with Arthur, but actually maybe to a lot of Toronto developers. Indie games generally don't have a rating system. I mean, the ones that get mass released on, like, Steam or whatever, they do have a rating system, but then again, a lot of them will say, like, has not been rated, or, you know, no rating available, I guess, or something like that. And I guess my question would be, like, should something like that be enforced? Like, how would you even, like, keep track of that for indie games? If someone throws it up on their website and, you know, just as, like,
A gag.
Yeah. Well, not even like a gag, but just be like, hey guys, I finally finished my game. Here it is.
Gore-tacular. Kill all the gore and gory guns and titties.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's the buffer of, you know, most people who are going to play indie games just by word of mouth are probably in the same age range as the person who made it, so ideally above 18, yeah. 19, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then maybe it's like, oh, you know, kid types in gory, gore, gore, gore kill into Google and gets, you know, congratulations, you actually found the name of the game on the first try.
Oh, try it.
And then, you know, plays it. Should it actually be, like, strongly enforced?
It'd be really hard to keep track of all the indie games, because, like, in terms of, like, not third party, but AAA titles, there's still, like, a lot of titles being produced every single week, right? And I'm sure the board has their work cut off. Well, not work cut off for them, but they have a job that's always constant. And having independent games, I mean, like, at least in Toronto, it seems like there's always games coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff that's, like, I think submitted to, like, let's say Newgrounds or a public Flash website, they're going to review it, and if it's, like, inappropriate, that either put, like, a name thing, I mean, a date thing, where you say, when's your birthday, even though people, like, lie about it all the time, it's somewhat there, I guess, but I think it's, like, do people put ratings on, like, indie films, I guess?
Or really music?
Like, I'm not really too big into the indie music or indie movie scene at all, so I wouldn't really know.
Actually, I have a pretty good story just to throw in at this moment, vaguely related to this.
Mm.
There was this, Toronto, independent... It wasn't the, IFF. It was something else. It was just a bunch of local Toronto movies that were put together. I know because a friend of mine was in one of them. And, you know, we watched his movie, and it was really fun. It was really good, and all the acting was good and everything. And, but, like, all the actors that were in the movie were there, too. So one of them was this, like, young girl, like, the age of, like, 7 or 8, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, she was there, because the film itself, you know...
Starring her.
It's PG. Well, essentially PG, maybe, like, PG-13 for, like, slightly excessive language.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a kid. Who cares? When I was 8, I was swearing like a sailor. But, then, there was this other movie made, and it was just straight-up porn. Like, seriously, so much of the movie was a guy having sex with two girls. In a joke scenario. Like, it was, what are they called? Infomercial. That's it. It was pretty much an infomercial for, like... I can't even remember what at this point. But it was just a guy having sex with girls as he was talking. And it was graphic, and they were zooming in. And the girls in the audience as this is happening.
Oh. Man, that's... I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
That's...
That can mess a kid up.
Yeah, that's like...
I mean, I watched heavy metal when I was, like, 5 or 6.
What's heavy metal?
The movie? The, like, graphic cartoon movie?
Never heard of it or seen it.
I'm so disappointed.
I'm so uncultured.
Everyone younger than me right now.
I'm so uncultured for the 80s, even though I wasn't born there. Jeez.
No, but, like, this is vaguely what I'm getting at. Like, if it's indie, if it's just local, how are you really going to know what's actually in it? Because there's so little word of mouth. It just says, like, here's a movie made locally. I like local movies. Play porn.
And independent, like material, whether it's game, movies, or music, usually it's... Well, I wouldn't say it's always, but it's usually stuff that's trying to go, let's say, beyond the boundaries or beyond the norm of, like, real big production material.
Yeah. Like, it actually wants to make a statement about something.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what, and that's why a lot of people like going independent, is because they want to actually do their own thing and express themselves. And
if they choose to express themselves through, like, a means or representation of X being greater than moral standard,
then how are you gonna rate it? Yeah, that's a really good question. I guess...
Like, I think that part of it should be on, like, the developer to have something up. Like, warning contains, you know...
Yeah.
Intercourse.
And, like, anything that's, like, that's way too bad is probably going to get bad press. Like, if it's really, really bad, let's say some parent finds, like, their children playing it, that parent's going to go ballistic and probably call some people and get it on the news, and then all this stuff's going to happen. And...
I don't know. It's a huge vicious cycle, because it's like, oh, you know, you should have put this information up, like, oh, it, you know, contains this stuff, and it's, well, you really think that would have stopped the kid? You should have been paying more attention to what your kid was doing online. And then it's...
Yeah.
It's online. How much can you actually, like, monitor that?
I mean, there's parental controls, but you pretty much have to stay with your child 24/7.
Yeah, that's like putting child safety caps on, like, pill containers. Kids figure out how to open it.
I never found a way to open them.
You're lying. You're lying so bad. Alright.
This
is our moral debate for the podcast.
Moral debate. Went from, like, relationships to, like... Went from prom to relationships to sex and games?
To ratings on...
This is pretty cool. No, this is pretty cool, chat. I'll actually...
Yeah.
Really cool. But, yeah, we should probably get into more game dev, like, stuff happening.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's getting, like, it's almost an hour now on the podcast.
Alright, so to quickly wrap up, then... let's talk about Toe Jam.
Yeah, Toe Jam. Finally, not finally, but it was officially released.
Finally officially.
Finally officially released by Jim McGinley, who's one of the main organizers for it. Toe Jam 6, and it's called 60 Times?
360 Times.
I was reading it, I was like, I was going to say Sexy Times. Toe Jam is Sexy Times.
That's the joke.
.jpg. anyways, guys, you guys should check it out, or at least go to it. Please go to it. It's Toe Jam every single year is awesome. It gets bigger and bigger. And
that's what she said.
Yeah. Or that's what that game said. It's going to have 300 people, or at least they hope to room 300 game makers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be held, like we said, at George Brown's 230 Richmond campus, which is the design building.
That's right. Last year we had it at the Autodesk building, which was the building for the George Brown game dev students at that point.
Yeah.
And that year we had four rooms full, about like
30 to 40 people in each room.
30 to 40 people in each room. So that was about 120, 150 people, whatever, something like that. So now they're saying they're going to fit 300 people, and that's because this literally is growing each year because of word of mouth of people like us saying how awesome it is to do. So, like, quick recap, Toe Jam is the 72-hour, you get locked in a building, basically, make games for 72 hours, showcase them at the end.
It's going to feel really cool because in the Richmond campus, it's like, it's a big enough area that it's like you have probably 7-8 plus rooms, like individual rooms, and then you have all of these hallways and bathrooms and other rooms and whatnot, and it's gonna feel like kind of like you're in like this little like dorm room, I guess, and everyone around you is game makers.
Yeah.
And it's gonna have a really, really cool feeling to it.
This is the same building that the second day of Gamer Camp was at.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, if you're confused about what this location is, that's what it is.
Exactly. And it's going to be held Friday, May 13th at 10 a.m. to Sunday, May 15th at midnight? Really? It's going on till midnight? I didn't...
That doesn't sound... It ended at, like, 6 last year.
Yeah, on Sundays. Because usually they like to demo all the games. But maybe they're thinking of having...
That may have been just because the building was closing at that time.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Because that was Autodesk. So yeah. This is George Brown, so they can close whenever the hell they want.
Yeah. That's really true. But no, but then that wouldn't really make much sense, because pretty much people were all night on Saturday night.
Maybe it was just like a Sunday thing, and it had to be ready for Monday, the day after. Maybe. I don't know.
All we know is that...
Right now it says Saturday midnight, so unless this is a typo or something...
Yeah, maybe...
they're showcasing the games on a different night, or they're just having another all-nighter. But I think by midnight on Sunday, May 15th, people are going to be, like, dead tired.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure everyone will still be crazy enough to play everyone's games. I would.
I wonder how much room there will be for, like, sleeping there. Because
people don't sleep, though.
Well, there were a bunch of people sleeping last night.
I try to sleep.
Yeah,
it's so hard.
It doesn't go so well.
Because they kept the lights on for the entire 24 hours. And, like, I made such a noob mistake. I think it was, who's Golden Gear Games? That's, I'm sorry if you're... I forget your name. You know, the guy from Golden Gear Games. What's his name?
I don't even know what Golden Gear Games is.
He made the grown-ups. Or grow-ups. Grow-ups.
Grow-ups?
Grow-ups, yeah.
Oh,
Is it Alex?
Alex Bethke?
That's it. Oh my god, Alex Bethke, I'm terribly sorry that I forgot your name. Yeah, he was in our room for Toe Jam, and I asked him if we were turning off the lights for people to sleep, and he just, like, looked at me, gave me a weird look, and started laughing, and I was like, what? And he's like, we aren't going to turn off the lights, people are going to be making games all night, and I was just like, oh my god. And I ended up sleeping in a hallway with a sleeping bag. I slept for like 15 minutes. But yeah, sleep isn't really encouraged at TO Jam.
No, as you can tell by the infinite supply of Red Bull they had.
Oh, yeah.
All the coffee and Red Bull you could ever want. Yeah, that was... Welcome to the big leagues.
I wonder what would happen if someone like were to like die from like... Not die, but have some sort of like energy drink... overdose.
That's their own damn fault.
True.
No, you know what? If there's like a mountain of bacon in front of you, feel free to eat the bacon. Know the consequences.
Bacon's good though.
It is.
It's so tempting. Anyways, guys, registrations for this magnificent event. It's gonna be April 11th. No time specified. Probably. Will be soon to the date.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the theme again for it?
The theme is best described, what just happened?
Yeah.
And that's the theme. The theme literally is, what just happened? So I guess they're going for maybe confusion, surprise, excitement. Yeah.
It's a really cool game because, I mean, not a really cool game, a really cool theme because... People might not finish their games, and their games might be broken or whatever, but it's gonna fit the theme anyways, because people will be like, why is this not working, or why is this happening, and what just happened?
Ideally, but I really hope people don't just, like, cop out that way. Like, I really hope there isn't a game of it's just, like, static or flashing images for 30 seconds, and it's like, congratulations, you beat the game.
Oh, and crap, that was my idea.
You're left there standing like, what just happened? Because there's a difference between what just happened and what just happened. One's excitement, one's disappointment.
That's true, yeah.
You want it to be, what just happened? This was amazing. Like, how did this even... And then there's, what just happened? I'm never getting this 5 minutes back.
I want to kill myself now. Yeah, I guess as long as it surprises the player in a good way, and in a way that you're like, this is really fun, and I'm surprised what just happened.
Mm-hmm. So now you know the theme, now you can start thinking about what to do.
Yeah, and if you guys are ever looking for teammates, I use Twitter to, like, find other developers. You can always probably hashtag TOJam to see what other people are tweeting and try and get a team going.
And if for some reason you haven't taken part of Toe Jam, they usually have floaters going around helping with things that you might not have. So if you need sound, they have sound guys there. If you need programming help, they have programmers there. If you need art, they have art guys there. So it's all good.
Yeah. So everyone, go when April 11th comes, comes, sign up, and then when May 13th comes, take part in it and have fun. We are guaranteed that you're going to have fun, whether your game is done or not. It's a great experience.
We'll definitely be there for sure. So again, autograph signing opportunities there.
What we're also thinking of doing, if you guys are a weekly listener to the TIG, me and Max are thinking of podcasting throughout the event. I'm not too sure if we're final in it or not, because we'll be trying to make our game complete and whatnot, or at least look and feel really good. I think podcasting for at least an hour on each day, or at least doing it live as we're making our game, would be really interesting to hear from at least from our perspective. We're the people who make the podcast, so of course we're going to find it interesting.
This is assuming we have any listeners who wouldn't be taking part in Dojam.
Yeah. It's... I think what I was thinking that would be really cool would be to have a podcast, well, like a very, very short one, or at least a live one, from day one to day two to day three, and just listen to our insanity or our mind just completely collapse, and to see how Dojam kind of how it influences you throughout the whole weekend in terms of your
mental
game
degradation.
Yeah, Max's big word of the day:
degradation.
Yeah. But yeah.
So that's the information we have for Dojam right now. That website's up at www.tojam.ca/home/default.asp. So feel free to head there, check out the information yourself. Keep it on the webpage, they may be updating it. And
you can follow them on Twitter. I know Big Pants Games, who are the people who mainly organize Dojam, have a Twitter account now. And I think the Toronto Game Jam, all one word, is a Twitter account, which is pretty much Jim McGinley. Definitely you guys recommend following him for any updates on Dojam as well. And yeah, what time are we on now? This is actually the longer podcast than we thought it would be.
Yeah, I think that debate really pushed it over the edge.
Should we go over the last thing?
Yeah, probably. Just really quick.
Yeah. Alright, guys. Finally, like we were saying before the break, myself, Max, and a few other students were given the privilege to see Trans Gaming, a local game development
studio
in Toronto.
I guess company. I don't know.
Company. Like, they're doing a whole bunch of different things for interactive entertainment. And one of their sections is game development, and you might have heard of some of their games that they've made. They've made a game called Puzzle Quest for the iPhone, iPad, iPod, and Mac. Keep in mind, most of their games are for the iPhone, iPad, Apple sort of group of
brand.
So they've created a game, games called like Puzzle Quest, In the Mix, featuring Armin van Buuren, a game that actually was only released in Europe. Sort of like a DJ game.
For the Wii.
And then you have games like Garage Inc. and their new Mystery Project, which are, again, same platforms. Mm-hmm. With Garage Inc. just being released a few months ago, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's
super popular.
It's a really, really fun game. It just reached over 500,000 downloads, I think. Yeah, we, both Max and I, and a few others, were given the privilege to go and see these guys.
Tour the studio,
pretty much. And we met a whole bunch of different cool guys at the studio. And overall, it was a really great, great experience, and we thank them for having, us in the studio. It was, being students, it's really cool to see, the working environment of the jobs we're hoping to get after we graduate college. Big shout out to the people that we saw at the studio. Warjack. I'm not going to say your last name because it's really long and I'm probably going to mess it up, but he's the managing director
at... Kozinski.
Kozinski. There you go. Max is good with the names.
I'm part Polish.
Are you really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I'm Polish, Irish, and Scottish. I'll drink anything under the table. I'm also probably mispronouncing the name, but I think it's Kozinski.
Better than me, yeah. I'm not even going to try. But anyways, yeah, so we met Warcheck, Jason, Ken, and Dave. Jason being the creative director at Transgaming. We have Ken, who's a senior concept artist who's worked with a whole bunch of different...
Comic stuff like Marvel, DC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have Dave, who's a senior artist, who's actually worked with a lot of game development companies, including Capcom Mobile and Silicon Knights. So there's a lot of skill in this company, and the games that they've been producing are excellent.
Yeah.
Another shout out goes to John Remedios, who's a programming developer there, who's taken part in the the Prototype Challenge.
Game Prototype Challenge?
That's it. Yeah, so kudos goes to him. It's an awesome company. The environment was really, really relaxed and really, really friendly.
Also, there's Matt Robinson, who was absent from us meeting him today. And Jason
Kaplan? He was only an internship.
No, that Jason.
Yeah, he was there, yeah. That's the creative director.
Yeah, but you didn't mention his name.
I did. Jason, if I didn't mention your name, Jason again, creative director, cool guy. And what happened really is that we had a whole, they let us ask questions about the game, about Garage Inc. More so, and kind of get a feel of how that sort of game happened, and hearing about like the design of it, the production cycle, hearing about their different roles and how they made the game what it is, which is fantastic, by the way.
Yeah.
You can download it on the App Store.
But a lot of it was, just being in the biz, pretty much.
Yeah, and just giving us pretty much their experiences with it.
Yeah, like experience, advice, stuff like that, you know. Don't go in thinking this, think this instead. You know, this is what we thought going in, this is how demoralized we were coming out.
Crunch time always happens.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
And I really think, like, the best advice that they gave was from Ken, I think it was, when he said, you know, games are never finished, they're abandoned.
It's true.
Or was that Jason?
That was Ken, I believe.
Yeah games
or
are
one of them,
not, yeah. They're not finished, they're abandoned. You can work for however long you want on a game, but at some point, you know, realistically for releasing it to the public or for business, you know, it just has to be stopped. And you pretty much just do abandon it and say... No more work. It's over.
We gotta work on more titles. Which is a good...
We gotta work on God of War 5.
Yeah.
Kratos.
Well, actually, isn't there a God of War 4 game coming out? It's like 4... But it's called like a different name. It's called like Mortal Kombat, I think. You know, since Kratos is in there. But yeah, we're gonna be posting up links to... their website, a few of their Twitter accounts. I know a few of them. I'm not too sure if Jason, Ken, or Dave has Twitter accounts, but you guys should definitely follow Warcheck and John Remedios. Great guys. I've seen a bunch at some IGDA events. So if you guys are always interested in what games they're making...
Yeah, they recognized you. Or Warcheck does.
It was pretty funny. We were just like all like sitting in like a kind of like a conference center sort of room. And Warcheck is about to start, and he just kind of like looks at me. He's like, "Do I know you from somewhere? You like the from Twitter or something?" I'm like, "Yeah." And then he's like,
"I know you from Twitter."
Well, like he knows me from IGDA too, because we've met face to face before. It was just pretty cool how he was saying that
you're like one of the only guys who actually posts like the picture of his face as like the Twitter display picture. And it's like, yeah, awesome. But definitely, guys, check out their games. Really, really good stuff. They're actually working on a new project right now.
Mystery project in production.
Which they don't have a name for. And what they were stressing is that if you guys find them on Facebook, like them and suggest any names for their game. It's pretty much a game about animals and they're square, and you pretty much eat other animals and you grow bigger. And pretty much the faster you fall down and you get bigger and you eat more, you win. Not too much stuff has been released yet, but they're definitely looking for a cool name.
Yeah, because they're cool animals. They need a cool name for this.
I want to name it Animal Crackers, but Max just told me earlier that it's already taken.
Yeah.
Well, it's Animal Crackers, though. It's not like they're taking in.
I want to call it Animal Planet. I want to call it Crocodile Hunter.
Well, what if we call it Crackers Animals? Or we mix the two words together, making...
Let's call it Crackerdile Dundee.
I think this is the point where we should probably stop the podcast.
Probably.
We're going into insane mode.
Alright, so I guess we'll cut it off here for today.
Yeah, thanks a lot for tuning in for this. It turns out to be an extra long episode of... Not really extra long, but...
1 hour, 16 minutes.
Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. If you guys...
We don't need to thank anyone. No one's still listening.
Yeah, they turned it off. Or they fast-forwarded to, like, this point right now, and they're like...
To this point where, like, we don't need to be nice to people. People suck.
If you guys have any questions or comments about the podcast, send us an email, comment below the links. We're also on iTunes, if you didn't say that before. Just search our title, Toronto Indie Guys. Currently, we have actually two podcasts on iTunes. Problem being, the first time we did it, we got some information wrong, and I told Apple to remove it, and they still haven't removed it. So I'm not too sure if they're just going to leave it up there.
Because Apple's all like, no, this is our property now.
So pretty much click the link that actually has a display picture, because that's the updated, cooler one. So yeah, put us on your podcast. And shoot us comments, emails, questions that you guys have. Or if you guys just want to talk about anything, releasing a game, we'll talk about it. And yeah, we'll see you guys at some newer events. And like Max has said, we can sign autographs for anyone that wants to get our autographs.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
I'm looking at you, Max, for autographs for me.
We'll also bring in some 5x11 headshots of ourselves. And you can buy them for $15, and then we'll sign them for you.
Which costs another $15?
Yeah.
It's for a good cause.
It is. All money will be donated to us.
Yeah, for podcasting. Anyways, guys, thanks a lot for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week, or the week after, probably next week, for episode 8. Yeah.
big shot's gonna give you what you want.
Too late, they start shooting in a week.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.